Cheryl Fuller has a question, so I'm going to see if I can't unmute her. I'll ask Cheryl to unmute herself and we can get going.
Oh, sorry, I'm just walking in the house barking puppies. But
that sounds like my life.
Let me go get situated. I was late. I was running an errand. I thought I'd be home in time. But so I have a question. I have a litter of puppies that are 10 and a half weeks old, and they've been so itchy for about almost 2 weeks. So last week I couldn't get into the vet, but they gave me, I just went and picked up. I couldn't get an appointment and got NexGard because what I described, they thought might be mites. So I did that and really no improvement. One of the puppies to the point where all she did would take two steps and stop and scratch. And so I took her to the vet Monday and of course didn't get my regular vet, got somebody I've never seen before. And she wanted me to do NexGard again. And she prescribed, why am I drawing a blank? Prednisone, which okay. Really scared me with my little baby. On the other hand, the dog is absolutely miserable. So I have given it to her, but it's been just a couple days now, and I just don't know if that's a good idea or what I should be doing. So thoughts.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, what changed in those 2 weeks that would have made them do this? And then refresh me on what breed it is, Cheryl?
It's a Quaker Hunja.
Okay. Have you changed anything? Have they been outside more? Has there been a topical lawn application?
No lawn application, but they have been outside a whole lot more. Okay. On the Facebook group, I know Gail asked a question, do you have coyotes nearby? Mm-hmm. And the answer was yes. But I'm not sure why she asked that, except for that my vet said that they tend to carry mites.
They do. And usually, and when I've had extra itchies like that, my vet has done, instead of NexGard, he's done Revolution or Capstar. The other thing for itching, it sounds really strange, but go back to the old Aveeno bath to ease the skin. And I would ask for a skin scraping.
Well, I asked her to do a skin scraping and she said that generally you don't, if this itchiness is usually caused by sarcoptic.
Right.
And you usually don't find them. So just because we didn't find one wouldn't mean she didn't have them. It's one puppy is way worse than the others.
Are you losing any fur around the eyes?
Not losing any fur, no crustiness, but just terrible itching. No fleas, nothing. Yeah. And I've been doing no baths. I've been rubbing a Benadryl cream on her. Nothing gives her relief. But even the prednisone's not giving her much relief.
Where are you?
Yeah.
In the Houston, Texas area.
Okay. I've got tollers and all the Texas tollers this time of year. Last 2 weeks, mine have been itching like crazy. And they all itch this time of year. Just they'll take their coats out scratching. And we assume it's something with all the cedar blooming and everything this time of year, they just go nuts and it's some kind of allergy. We've never been able to prevent it, but every toller in Texas just goes crazy about now. Really? Mine started last week. So
my fine.
Pardon?
My adult Quakers are fine. It's just these puppies and, they're going home this weekend and I feel terrible that I'm sending all these. And one went home last week and continued to itch after it went home. So, because I thought if it was something from contact, it would go away after a few days.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Sylvia. Thank you for chiming in on that, because if it's a regional.
You're welcome. Breeds are pretty closely, so that's what made me think. It could be something similar.
Yeah, I wonder if there is a relationship there. Have they done this at the same time in past years, or have you just not had a litter? Sylvia, it sounds like you've had the same thing going on.
Yes, so it's always right before our national. They take the coats out right before the national every year.
Well, what is prednisone? How dangerous do you think it is? I mean, it's 2.5 milligrams. She's saying I can give her once or twice a day, and she assured me it was safe. But
well, while I'm not a fan, I'm also not a fan of having the puppies go ballistic on themselves, itching.
Right.
I would ask about Apoquel, which is the allergy itching that a lot
Apoquel.
Of that, yeah.
Apoquel is something that is very, very useful for an unidentified sort of allergen. I had a bull terrier that lived on it. So I don't know what the age is, but I would definitely, Cheryl, check with your, I'm saying when they can start getting it.
Yeah.
Cheryl, I would absolutely check with your vet about Apoquel because it makes an enormous difference.
Yeah, that would be my next one versus prednisone. I agree, Laura. That definitely is it.
I'm in Friday for a ultrasound on one of my girls, so I can talk to him about. I'll have my regular vet on Friday too.
Yeah, I would definitely ask about the Apoquel.
How do you spell that?
Apaquel.
Is it APA or APO? I think it's APO.
It may be APO.
I think it's Apoquel.
Apo or Apoquel, but if you can say it right.
Yeah, they'll know what I mean.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck. Fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Julie Currier, you have a small Papillon who had three puppies Saturday morning.
Yes.
And let's see. So my big thing is finding the sweet spot. And so for me, that means you've got a Papillon. How much are you giving her?
It's a quarter of the tablet of the Dockroids. I think it said it has 475 milligrams of calcium per tablet.
Is that elemental calcium or is that because the elemental calcium is different than the calcium itself?
I have to go get the bottle. I'm not sure.
So
it's what the Avadog thing recommended, that particular product. So
yes. Yeah. No, I love Dockroids because it's balanced,
right.
And I'm in absolutely full agreement with that. What I've found is if you're doing a quarter tablet, and I would tell you, and she's still got that behavior, but you're doing a quarter tablet, what, once every 8 hours?
I haven't really found a good balance yet. And I'm afraid to overdose her. So that's kind of what partly my question is, how do I find that? Like you said, the sweet spot. And next week, the puppies are only 4 days old now. Well, I guess,
That's okay. 40
old. How do I find that sweet spot? Do I wait till she has the behavior to give it? Or, I don't know.
Personally, I don't like to see the breakthrough behavior.
Okay.
So what I do in the beginning is I go, okay, so if she can go 4 hours before I start seeing that, then I want to give it to her then. And the next time I'm going to give her something at 3.5 hours. So I've found when her breakthrough is. So if you're giving her a quarter tablet at 6 and she breaks through at 10, I would be doing it, like at 1:30 the next time until you found a cycle where you're giving her the least amount to have the best reaction. Which is to settle her down and not have the digging and not the running around panting, et cetera. And some of the panting is also because her milk is coming in. So, look for that sweet spot. So I personally, for my guys, would have no problem giving it. I give calcium basically in the beginning once every 2 to 3 hours, and then I start stretching it out. Until I can see that I really need to be giving it only every 6 hours and that works. And then we just find that's how I find the sweet spot.
Okay. So as far as the behavior goes, she will sometimes, do the behavior, start digging in the box, get out of the box, go in the closet, walk around the room, start panting, but then go back into the box and seem to settle down. And then an hour or so later, she gets back up again, does some weird stuff, and then goes back in the box.
Do you have an Adaptil plug-in near her to help her for settling?
don't, but I
could. So those are really great. The pheromones are really wonderful to help. I've also, now I have Labradors, Gordon Setters. So I have bigger dogs and I do use the Adaptyl collar on my girls. But the plug-in, especially for a small dog, I would be using one right next to the whelping box to kind of help her settle.
Okay.
And that gives you kind of a two-pronged, you know, approach. And I'm glad that they're all, puppies are all gaining really well now. That's great.
Yeah. It took about 48 hours, but yeah, they are now.
Yeah. It's a tough 48 hours. I like to see the puppies gaining, but if mom is having a hard time settling, they have a hard time nursing.
Right.
That's how it goes. So does that help?
Yes, it does help. Yeah. I mean, otherwise she's being an excellent mom. The puppies are like sterile. They're so clean. So she's being really, really good. But other than that,
want moms like that.
That's right. Great. I mean, there's not a drop of anything in that box. It's funny. Yeah.
Well, you know, I would really not be uncomfortable giving her a little more calcium.
Okay, so that Strong Bones has vitamin D in it. I'm a little worried that you can't overdose them on that, can you? Because that's
It's a very short time. So what I have done, because I obviously have to give way more than you do, right, is I have purchased the calcium citrate powder from Amazon, and it's Frontier. I believe it's Frontier, and it's organic. There's nothing else in it. So I use a combination of that powder and I measure it out, you know, weigh it out per the dose. And then I also use either a raw egg yolk for the phosphorus, because I'm trying to balance it. Everything must be balanced post whelping. And then, or I just give a little bit of scrambled egg with it, because that gives you your phosphorus and your calcium together without worrying about the vitamin D. But you do need the vitamin D for absorption. So I wouldn't worry about what you're giving her now. But if you feel like you have to go to higher amounts and you're not comfortable with the vitamin D by giving her extra Doc Roy's, that would be that's the solution that I personally have used.
Okay, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Let's what do we got here? I think we're pretty good on that one. So I may be coming into the group myself. I'm waiting this week to diagnose pregnancy on one of my girls, and I am sitting on pins and needles. So I think I'm about ready to do the, you know, everybody thinks that this is all going to be, you know, because you've done it for 40 years, it's all kind of, you take it for granted. Well, I'm here to tell you that every litter is kind of like doing it again. And there is all the stress of that. So I'm going down my whelping list and making sure all the things that, you know, from my Delee catheter to my warming things to all of my, especially right now, we've had a lot of storms coming through. So seeing as we don't have a lot of questions, unless Nicole, are you seeing, I'm not seeing anybody with hands up.
I don't know.
One of the things I'd like to talk about is preparing for storms. To make sure that if we have, whether it's a rainstorm and we lose power, or we're expecting storms that could be taking out situations where we're going to have to move the puppies. I'd like to talk about how people are preparing for this, whether you're down in Louisiana or in Atlanta. I have discovered that my best friend is my picnic cooler, because it allows me to move my puppies very safely, keep them warm and keep them in a safe spot, especially in the winter here. So was an interesting find for me on that. And then I have a to-go bag. Does anybody else have times where they found themselves having to move their puppies kind of suddenly, things that they would do? Laura, what do you do if the fires are coming?
Well, I've had actually snowstorms take out my power with a brand new litter of puppies. So if you have the availability, I always, always, always recommend having a backup generator, even if it's a small one. So you can run some kind of heat source, and you can run a microwave to heat a bottle if that's what you need to do. So even just a little, you know, $1,000, $500 Honda generator, anything that'll run just a small amount of power. I have gone through that multiple times. If you are fortunate enough to have something like a wood stove, or, you know, any kind of source of heat that is not powered by electricity, it's a good thing to have. I also really, really, really like to be able to, you know, charge your electronics, all those kinds of things. So that portable generator makes a big difference and is one of my favorites. And Susan, Cindy has a question too.
Yep. I was just going there. I wanted to wait until you were done.
You can shut me up anytime.
Okay. You were asking for the calcium citrate powder dosage for a 30-pound wheat, and Cindy, and I would use the calcium calculator that is part of Avidog. I don't know, Nicole, can you link it in the chat if Cindy can't get to it right away?
Yes, I'll grab that.
That would be my best suggestion for you to do. That has all of the right calculations. And then you can just use the measurement off the back of the bag.
Can I put in my 2 cents about that calcium citrate? This is Celeste.
Hey, Celeste, sure.
Hey. Oh, great. Thank you. First of all, I want to say I really like that picture behind you. And since I raised labs, is that a print or is that a photo?
So it is actually a numbered print. It's called The Eyes Have It.
Oh, my God. That just made my heart flip.
Thanks. It was.
I just absolutely love it. I want it.
It was a birthday gift.
Anyway,
it'll
awesome.
It'll be in
okay.
The will to you.
Okay, thank you. I have a feeling you'll be living a lot longer than me, but anyway, because I am older than dirt. Calcium citrate. My labs. Oh my God, I have one in particular that takes a massive amount of it, and that calcium calculator is awesome, but I do want to caution anybody using it that is a guide. It's not don't think that if you're going to go one little granule over it, that you're going to OD your dog on it. You're not. If your dog is in distress and needs calcium, pour it in them. I mean, it's more important to save your dog. The Healthy Bones by Doc Royce, that is the more, I call calcium citrate the rescue calcium, and then the Doc Roy's the maintenance. And I mean, my first 2 weeks after my litters are born, I mean, I just hate them almost because there's not that much to do with the litter except feed calcium, calcium, calcium to that mother. It's just ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah. Have you listened to Dr. Marty Greer's recent podcast that she did on calcium, talking about doing some preloading as soon as the girls go into stage one labor?
And I did that. Yes, I did that. I went and did.
I thought I remembered that you were having some real challenges because you were going back and forth between, you know, my group and Gail's group. And I remember the challenges you were having.
Yes, it was awful. And I usually have, and this is just part of being human. Like I had the giggle when you said that every litter is a new litter, you know, and you get nervous. But that first puppy is like, sometimes I'm like ready to, if I have any hair left after it comes, it's a miracle. But if the rule of thumb, and it worked, was if they actually go into contractions, I mean, real contractions, give them the calcium, and that will help that first puppy along much better. But don't give it to them, you know, at the first temperature drop or something.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, that's my thinking.
Initially, I will tell you that I had because a lot of people before Gail started really digging down, and we had so many people that didn't really know when labor started. So we had people giving calcium way too early. And that's where the rule of thumb came about, which is not 100% correct, but it is safe, was safer for us to say, which was not until the first puppy. And that indeed is not necessarily the truth. It's the minute you start having contractions, and contractions in stage one can also be shivering, that, you know, where the bitch starts really just kind of shaking, because that is actually contractions for the puppy.
That's what I found too. I've had some girls that if I didn't know better, I'd say she never had one.
Right.
You know, but you're right.
And there's a part of me that wonders if we have a bitch who's had a problem, if before they have puppies, if we couldn't get their ionized calcium tested before they, like a day before they whelp, if we would see, and that's a question that's not necessarily definitive, if we would see a calcium deficiency that would help us know we're going to have to be more on top of it, specifically like in cases you've got. So I'm going to, let's see, Diana Dixon had asked, so calcium, I'm going to just plunge in here and kind of combine conversations, Celeste. Diana, the calcium that most of the vets have is generally sub-Q calcium. The calcium that I personally will not use unless I'm under the care of a vet, because there can be heart arrhythmias when using sub-Q or IV calcium, and it's super emergencies. Okay. But the calcium that we're talking about, I get from Amazon.
Okay.
And it's calcium citrate bulk powder.
Okay. I wrote that down because my girl has found out she may have up to 10 puppies. I was expecting 5 to 6. And
this just sounds like so much fun. So it is the bulk powder. And you'll laugh because my mother has been told to take 5,000 milligrams of calcium a day, and she doesn't do pills. So I pulled out my doggy bag and handed it to her. And she said, I give up. I just, all this dog stuff. And I said, put it in your orange juice, you know?
Yeah. So I could mix it with pumpkin or something.
You can, but I would strongly suggest that you mix it with a raw egg yolk, which is where your high your
the egg phosphorus.
Your egg is actually the reverse. It's super high phosphorus and lower calcium. So it gives you your balance when you put it with the calcium.
Okay.
And what I do is, like when I'm whelping, if I have calcium citrate, I mix it with the Pedialyte and the Caro syrup, or I make a simple syrup if I have to. So that for my Labradors, personally, I'm using 1,000 milligrams in between each puppy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, I'll get on Amazon and get some of that, so I'll have it.
Yeah, that works out really good.
And that is the name of it, Bulk Calcium. That's the brand name.
Let's see if I can't.
Want to tell you that all calcium citrate, even though it says pure, are not equal. I bought some that was not Bulk. That brand, Bulk. Bulk is the brand, I think. Okay. Anyway, it wouldn't dissolve.
It is very hard to dissolve. Therefore, putting it in pumpkin works really well. Let's see if I can find it here. Bulk supplements. Yeah, it is hard to dissolve. Absolutely. And it is made by Bulk supplements. And you can also, let's see, it's a vegan. It's actually 2.2 pounds is what the weight of it is. But this is what I have been using, and you're absolutely right. It is not a super dissolvable. So putting it in something that can be a carrier works.
Okay, because I've been trying to build the whelping kit that she suggests, but you know, I have to work, and they're just, I feel like I'm just.
Yeah.
Nervous.
No, take a deep breath. And that's, you know, that's why everybody is here. And that's why the Facebook group and, you know, I know you have reached out to me through Breeder Office Hours, which has been fun. And look for your response this week. so it's kind of, it's really interesting. I'm tickled to have teamed up to work with Gail. We've been trying to figure out a way to work together for 7, almost 8 years. And now working with Laura, I feel like the three amigos. if one of us can't answer something, the other can. And we see things in different ways, which is really good because we've had such different experiences, but it all ends up helping other people's dogs. And I think it was Teresa, if you're done, who had her hand up.
I can't see
Nicole. Oh, you're welcome, Diana.
Yes, Teresa did, but then it went down. Teresa, do you still have a question?
Did we answer? No.
Oh, there's also one in the chat from Brenda Adams, up a little more about a puppy.
Oh, I was feeding the dogs.
That's a, are you back, Teresa, or is this Brenda?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, so we'll go to you first and then I'll go to Brenda.
My question is about getting out of breeding. I've got 3 intact females and 1 intact male. And so just some experience that you all have had about, you know, say you're retiring a stud versus retiring an experienced bitch. What would your advice be about neutering or spaying? Do you first do the male and then do the female, or vice versa?
So let me see if I understand what you're asking. So you're asking about taking a dog out of your breeding program?
That's correct.
Okay. Because for a minute there, I thought you were saying you were retiring. And I was like, you're not retiring. Seriously, no. when I retire a dog, I do things maybe a little differently. That I already have selected a home for them.
Stay in my house. They're all going to stay with us.
Oh, yeah. They're staying with you. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to answer it 2 ways. I would, you know, spay your female in between her seasons, and you can neuter your male at any time. I don't think you have to say do one then the other. Timing is the one that it is critical on for the bitch. You want to do it in the middle of the season.
Right.
And, you know, that would be, you know, fine. But I will say that when I do, and I do place probably 80% of my girls and boys who are retired into single family homes. But just in case other people do, my protocol has been that the family take the dog for 2 weeks on a trial period. I want to make sure that this is going to be a good fit because I brought the dog into the world and I am responsible for it. And I want to make sure, usually after 2 weeks, the dog is either off of good behavior and onto his normal behavior, or off of the I'm testing you and onto the, oh, this is great. I think I'm going to love it here. At which time then I have the dog either neutered or spayed for the people. And the dog goes to live in their forever home that way. Otherwise, my husband has threatened divorce if I keep everything. And I did get rid of one husband, but I'm not going to get rid of this one. So it's all, you know, in the best interests of the dog. Does that help, Teresa?
Yes, it does. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Brenda had a question about, she brought home a puppy who's going to be 9 weeks old on Thursday. First day home, her bowel movement was fine. Second day, she developed loose stools. And she's tried dried pumpkin, but no results. So I send my puppies home with what I call my magic powder, which is a combination of a really sturdy probiotic and psyllium husk powder and pumpkin powder. And that has really worked well for me personally. And I give it so that there's about a week's worth The other thing that my veterinarian has had me use has been a pinch of Thailand powder, but I've done that only under a veterinarian's care, and that has worked. I suspect stress may have brought out Giardia or Coccidia, and that would be my guess. And my suggestion on what to use is I would probably go for some psyllium husk and some probiotics if she's not already, or he is not already on a probiotic. Anything else, Brenda, that...
Sorry, I've got a dog in the background.
We all do. It's all good.
You know, in the past, I've gone to the vet with a puppy or a dog that has had loose stools, and they give a, I don't know, it's called Digigel or something like that.
Diagel, right.
Diagel, okay. But again, since I haven't been to the vet, I didn't know if I could, you know, call or if there's something. It's not a prescription, I think.
It is now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
It is now. Now, Celeste had a great suggestion, and I have not used it, but she suggests using the bentonite clay.
Clay?
For puppy diarrhea. Mm-hmm.
Where you get the clay?
Can you put the link for where you purchase your clay in the
Absolutely. Everyone? It's on Amazon. Of course. I have daily delivery. And it works great for adults too.
Okay.
I use a quarter teaspoon for a puppy, unless you're talking a little bitty toy chihuahua or something
like
that.
Yeah, no, she's about 9 pounds. Well, she was 9 pounds when I brought her home. So she's
okay. Well, even when they're like 4 weeks old or something, I use the clay. But anyway, and then for adults, I use about half a teaspoon sometimes, and I just mix it in their food. It's a powder. It's okay. Messy. And put water in it, dissolve it. It dissolves easy, and just put it in their food. It looks terrible. I would never eat it, but it's actually for human consumption. And the dogs, for some bizarre reason, they love it. So I'll get the link for you.
Kale link.
And how soon do you see the results? Is it like the next time, you know, after they eat, is it their next bowel movement or?
Hold on. Let me get back to my, oh, shoot.
So while Celeste is looking, Laura Reeves also made the suggestion. She said change of drinking water is probably a significant cause to a lot of upset, which is why when I'm on the show circuit, I carry around gallons of my own water.
Yeah.
And she suggested putting some lemon in the drinking water just to change it.
I can tell you guys, as someone that showed dogs for a living, traveling around, mm-hmm. dogs that are unaccustomed to getting different water will get a soft stool. So the part of the question then, Brenda, is it a soft stool or is it the screaming heebie-jeebies, right? Screaming heebie-jeebies is going to be closer to the stress popping a Giardia coccidia. Soft stool is probably water change, right? So there's, in the puppy poop conversation.
there's here and there's here. Yeah.
And I can tell you for a fact that a little bit of lemon or even a little bit of apple cider vinegar in the water changes the pH enough and balances it out that it is very easy to transition puppies, dogs, anybody to a different water source.
Okay. Yeah. We thought initially maybe, you know, we overfed her, but we came home with food from the breeder. So don't think it's a change of food, but, you know, when you're going from a litter of 10 to a puppy of one, she's gobbling her food down. So it could be that she's just eating too quickly too.
So,
but initially, well, I mean, it's gone
thing
from.
You can do.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brenda.
So I was, added water to kind of slow her down, but she still just gobbles it up. And according to the weight of the package, she's getting, you know, about a quarter of a cup three times a day. So that would be 3/4 cup a day, which is what it says based on weight, but she's just a little scavenger.
So what breed, Brenda?
Australian cattle dog.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I would.
So
I would,
yes, scavenger. That's right.
Yeah. And it sounds like Priscilla is dealing with the same issue with the 20-week-old. So, you know, maybe you can pick some of these ideas up and use them on your dog, Priscilla. So that works.
Okay. Out. 20 weeks. Wow. Okay.
Well, you know,
yeah, so I'll go to
everybody's digestive system is a little differently. And so I think, you know, Laura hit the nail on the head with the water, and I'm glad of Celeste's suggestion because I have not used it myself, but I do know people like Celeste who've had great success with the clay. And I see she put a link in the chat box for everybody too.
Yeah, I see that as well.
Brenda, one other thing that
Laura,
you can
on the,
try.
On the lemon, is it fresh lemon squeezed in?
Doesn't matter. Basically, okay. What you're trying to do is get to a neutral pH. The other thing that I find really successful with baby puppies with just kind of tummy, you know, Fortiflora. So everybody's got their favorite probiotic. Mine happens to be Fortiflora. I swear by it. And it is pretty, pretty quick to turn them around if they've got something going on.
Okay. Yeah. Forta, P-O-R-T-A?
No, Fortiflora, F-O-R-T-I-F, as in Frank, L-O-R-A. It's a Purina-made product.
You can buy it on Chewy. You can buy it on Amazon. It comes in packages, so it's easy to transport.
Yeah. Can I get it at, like, locally, PetSmart, Petco, something like that?
No, but your vet will probably have it on hand.
Okay.
Yeah. And Slippery Elm giving a puppy, I usually use about 1/8 of a teaspoon personally in a puppy's food, or I mix it with water. It's a very teeny tiny little bit. What you're doing with the Slippery Elm, because Jennifer Shaw asked, is you're coating the gut and you're smoothing things out. And that too can help with a stool issue. Because sometimes it's all they're stressed and their gut is the first thing to react as a puppy.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, no problem. And I think Priscilla, you could be right. When you take a puppy to, you know, a hunting event to observe, unless they've seen bits and pieces of it, it can be overwhelming. And stress in dogs, as we all know, because we're all the poop experts, because that's what we talk about, is the first place we see it is that their stool becomes either loose or they become constipated, and neither way makes us happy. So we just
need. And also, if you're in the field, think about, did they go play in the bird pen, right? So there's can be some other geeky stuff they could pick up at a field event. So that's something to think about too.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, I think we're doing really well. I think we've gotten everybody in the chat box here. Let's see. I'm scrolling up. Nicole, am I missing anybody?
I think we have everything in the chat.
That's it.
I'm not seeing hands up.
No hands up. I'm supposed to occupy 10 more minutes of your time, guys. Find a topic. Come on. Don't let Gail see I've let her down. We need 10 more minutes. Okay, Kathy. Kathy McKee raised her hand. Nicole, can you tag her? Kathy, can you unmute yourself?
I'm unmuting. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I have bred a few litters of Shetland sheepdog puppies, and I, for some reason, my girls give me small puppies at the get-go, anywhere from 3 ounces to 6 ounces, which is fairly small for our breed. My question is, even though I have observed many tube feeding tutorials and then also with friends, this last little girl that I tried to get her to thrive, I did something wrong. And it broke my heart that I thought I was doing everything right. And is there any other helpful hints to know that the tube is in the right place before you plunge the milk in?
So when I tube feed, the trick that Dr. Dove taught me, so I was taught by a vet how to tube feed, and we actually did a dissection of some deceased bulldog puppies so that he could show us how to feed. And the trick that I was told to do was don't put their head up, but instead put their head down so that that tube curls down. Now, mind you, you've marked it, and I don't know if you can see me, but from their nose to their belly button where the umbilical cord is. So you don't want to have, you want to mark that first off with a magic marker. You don't want the tube to go down any further than that.
Correct.
And then you want to lubricate the tube. I usually dip it in the formula, and you right. want to insert it. So I'm doing this and Nicole's laughing at me. So you've curved, bent their head over, and the tube is going up and it curves. So it is curving, and the puppy is not, it can protest, but it breathes. It can still cough. You can still make it fuss. And that's when I put the tube in, and then I draw a little back when I pull it out to make sure I'm not, you know, flooding the lungs as I pull it out. That is the best way I have found to do it. I don't know what happened, Kathy. Describe how you did it, and let's see if we can't troubleshoot it.
Well, I did it according to what you just suggested.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I also thought that if they were squeaking a little bit or making a verbal noise, that you were safe to go ahead and give them the milk. It did not happen that way for me this last time. Mm-hmm. And she got asphyxiated and she passed on. So I'm just trying to fine tune this. I've tried bottles. I've tried sponges, because for some reason, these little Sheltie puppies don't thrive automatically when they're that small. Mm-hmm. And I haven't come up with the right solution yet.
So there is a woman by the name of Karen Kusick who sells silicone nipples that are made for preemies, made for all different kinds of dogs. Now, they're expensive. I want to say they're $20 a nipple, give or take, but they are super good nipples for small ones if you have to do it. And I've had people have a lot of success with that, those nipples. And she also makes a feeding station that is four-sided that the puppies, if you're using a formula, can actually use, and it mimics mom. And it's very good. You can find her on Facebook. I can see if I can find the link for you. That has worked for a lot of Frenchie breeders that I know who have challenges with getting their puppies to thrive.
Okay. Well, I think I've seen her on Facebook. I'll see if I can go find her again. My next question, real briefly, would be, if your puppy is so small that they don't have the ability to suckle, wouldn't tube feeding still be our best resort?
It is. Okay. It is absolutely your best, because tube feeding uses zero calories, whereas bottle feeding, sponge feeding, or other uses calories in order to get their milk. So when you have a failure to thrive puppy, you want to reduce the number of calories that they use in order to get the milk so that they get the most out of it.
Okay, I'm just going to have somebody be with me the next time.
Where are you, Jerry?
I am in Indiana.
Okay.
And I'm north of Indianapolis. And so I have a friend that has Norge Terriers that has helped me before, but we are quite a distance apart now, so she's not my go-to person. So I'm just going to have to pull up my big girl panties and figure this out.
Yeah, well, the only other thing I could suggest is if you know you're going to have to tube feed, is perhaps get someone on Zoom if that is the best you can do.
Okay.
Ask for help that way. I wished I had a better answer. I was thinking if you were close enough to me, I've got an upcoming litter. I'd be glad to show you hands-on and help you with
it. Sure. Well, I appreciate your information. Thanks again. Oh,
you're welcome, Kathy. Jerry Gillian has her hand up. What you got, Jerry?
Well, this is a follow-up to my dog won't eat question. So I made a lot of progress with my toy Manchester who was not eating. I am basically feeding her soup.
Okay.
Which is
we
great.
We do what it takes.
Yeah. And she's consuming it. But I have a couple of questions. One is, I have been adding so much water. I'm wondering, at some point, is she consuming too much water? She's pretty much stopped drinking from the water bowl because there's so much water in her food. But that's one concern. And she's had some accidents in her crate.
Okay.
I think because she's had so much water, which is very.
So could you change it from soup to stew?
I'm working on that. So I'm working on yesterday, she actually ate all the raw, even after the soupy part was gone, which she had not been eating. And so I'm trying to start to reduce it to see if there's more interest and the probiotics are kicking in. So that's definitely helping.
I would, so if memory serves me right, because I sat in on the last breeding crawl, she's pregnant, correct?
With a litter of five to seven.
Right.
Yeah.
This was like, we only had two and now we've got giant litter.
She had three and she went, yes, she's expecting five to seven.
That's a big litter
for an 11 pound dog. Yeah. It's a pretty,
I'm always constantly amazed at these Chihuahuas that produce five puppies that end up being the same size as the mom dog within a week. And I'm like, holy cow. I would start, you know, reducing the liquid as much as you can, because it sounds like she's hungry. That she's eating is great. She's getting the nutrition. I'm sure it's not that she's going to get water toxicity. However, that's a lot on her kidneys to process with the puppies being in there. And having been pregnant a few times myself, I know what it's like to carry, you know, something in my stomach and then have it kick and have to go to the bathroom. There is no passing go. It's like now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's probably at that stage. So.
Yeah. And it's rained here, which.
She's a diva and doesn't want to go out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it hasn't rained for several months because I'm in Oregon and that's the way it works here. And so we just got our first rain. But I'm trying to switch her to actual food. So yeah. I have more balanced nutrition. So if I can make that switch, then I'll just keep working on reducing the water as long as she keeps eating. So.
Yeah. And you're doing, many, many small mush meals.
Yeah. So I stick her in her crate. Mm-hmm. All the dogs eat twice a day. And then I stick her in her crate at least two more times. And I try to do for fairly long periods of time, like when I leave the house, you know, for a couple of hours. And then at night. So she's definitely eating at a minimum five times a day. Sometimes I stick her in a little bit more.
It sounds like you've turned the corner on that. I know you were really, really concerned. So I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, we have to get all the way to the end, but she pretty much didn't eat the last 2 weeks. I mean, she did eat some, but hardly any the last 2 weeks of her last pregnancy. And so many, two of the puppies were just tiny. And I mean, they were all vigorous, but I just don't want to have to worry about a bunch of tiny puppies. So,
yeah, no, I totally understand that. That sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Yay. I'm so glad to hear that. You know, it's you, I know Gail and I chat behind the scenes, and when you offer, what do you think about this or try this or do that? And then sometimes we just never hear. And it's so nice to get the feedback and to know that it's working. And, you know, so my next thing is, you're going to post pictures when you have the puppies, right?
You know? Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is a direct message I'm going to respond to. Yes, Janet, you and I live close to each other. And if you want help, come find me. I will be more than glad to help you with tube feeding, because you're right. Every time I lose a puppy, it haunts me. I compartmentalize well, and then I go cry in a corner. Just that's the way it works for me. But yeah, it is important. And if there's anybody else, I am in the Boston area, who needs any help learning that, just raise your hand. I'm always good for a road trip. I'll go up to an hour and a half before I charge you extra coffee, and it's all good. I think we're at our 2:59 time. Is this, am I right, Nicole?
Yes. Yes. I'm 2:59.
Okay. Well,
there's a quick follow-up on the lemon juice adding to the water.
Okay. I'm going to let Laura answer that.
What was the question?
Molly.
Oh, how much?
Yes.
There, I see it. So I do it. I take a, how big is this? Is that a, how big are our buckets? Two quart buckets.
Right?
Two-quart bucket, I put in a cap full of apple cider vinegar. So do the math. I'm not very good at measuring. I don't measure when I cook either. So I'm saying.
So I will tell you that it's about 2 teaspoons per gallon of apple cider vinegar. You can go
I was right.
You're good. Or you can go as high as a tablespoon for a gallon before the dogs go, what'd you do, Mom?
Carrying either bottled or treated water when you travel, and having it for your puppy when you bring it home, or recommending to your buyers that they do that, super great way to transition, and solves a lot of that, you know, first couple days puppy potty stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gail, Nicole said, I don't know where the link is, but the class All About Poop.
Yes.
We're going to do it on the Good Dog Pod too.
Are you? Fun.
Yeah, yep. We are. There is nothing more fun to talk about.
Oh, no, it's one of my favorite classes that she did, honestly.
Pretty fun. Okay, so I am going to refresh Gail's notes here, which is, again, refreshing. If you did not participate in the Good Dog Health Symposium, it really was awesome. Gail did a great job. The recordings will be out shortly, and you will see postings in the Good Dog Facebook group, and I'm sure Gail will also post it in the regular Avid Dog group. Remember, 9/27, she'll be at the Porty National in Virginia Beach. It is open to the public, even if you don't have porties and you're in Virginia. That's good. Next Q&A call is Wednesday, 10/13 at 8 p.m. I know it is usually Tuesday, but she will be at the Dobe National. Email office hours. Don't forget, all the Avid Doggers, send your emails to Gail directly at platinum@aviddog.com by noon on Wednesday. And Good Dog Doggers, you may send your emails to me at breederofficehours@gooddog.com by noon on Monday. And just so you know, the Good Dog Office Hour breeder office hours are answered not just by me, but I also pull in the esteemed Laura Reeves and the fabulous Gail Watkins, because we do operate as a team, and we think that by collaborating, we give you guys the best we have to offer. And so I'm going to let Nicole wrap it up, but I'm going to thank you for having me here as the Gail Watkins substitute.
Awesome. Thank you, Susan, for filling in. And I think that's it for today. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Everybody have a great week.
Bye.